You are listening to The Pulse, Rod Murray's e-learning tech podcast.
Number 169, Harvard Innovation Labs interview with Jody Goldstein. Hi, this is Rod Murray. Welcome back to my podcast. That was a little teaser from a piece called Something About Eve by a group called Falling You. As you might note, it's sort of an ethereal, ambient, new age music piece. Don't forget, you can listen to the full piece at the end of my podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Inside Higher Ed, the online source for news, opinion, and jobs for all of higher education. I also invite you to follow me on Twitter. My handle is RodsPods. As always, I post links to all the things we talk about on my show notes at www.rodspulsepodcast.com. For those of you who've been listening to my podcast for a while, you know that I generally concentrate on educational technology apps or new developments in other related higher ed, mostly, educational technologies. This week I'm diverging a little bit, but if you think about it, I'm interested in the future of education. And if you want to see what's going to be happening in the future, you have to look at the innovators, or better yet, figure out how to make your own students innovators. So I had the opportunity to interview the executive director at the Harvard Innovation Labs. I thought this would be a great topic. How does a school like Harvard help to instill entrepreneurship in their students and even the faculty and alumni? So I'm very happy to play back my interview with Jody Goldstein. She's the executive director there, and we talk about their three-lab ecosystem that supports Harvard students, alumni, and faculty in exploring innovation and entrepreneurship. We talk about how the Innovation Center supplement the academic curriculum with experiential learning, and what strategies universities can use to support students in their entrepreneurial endeavors. She talks about several success stories, which I find very interesting. And with that said, let me move on and play the interview with Jody Goldstein. Jody, thank you so much for talking with me today. How are you doing up there at Harvard?
We are doing great. We just kicked off our academic year. Students are back on campus, and it's got a newfound vibrancy around here. We love it.
That's right. It's always an exciting time of year. Same here at University of the Sciences. So I'm not sure how much my audience knows about the Harvard Innovation Labs, but before I dig into that, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved?
Sure, be happy to. So I came to the Harvard Innovation Labs by way of past lives as an investor. I was formerly in the venture capital community, investing in early stage companies. I then moved over to the other side and was an entrepreneur for about 15 years, being part of the management team of multiple early stage startups. Learned a lot along the way, and as I got more mature in my career, I was looking for ways to give back to the entrepreneurial community and possibly pass on some of my lessons learned, the blood, sweat, and tears from all those startups, and wanted to apply that in a new and different way and try to have an impact on the entrepreneurial ecosystem. And serendipitously, the opportunity for the Harvard Innovation Labs came about, and I was incredibly enamored by the possibility of creating a place where innovators and entrepreneurs could come together across disciplines at a place like Harvard, and jumped at the chance. And so close to 7 years later, here I am.
Okay, yeah, that was my next question. So you've been at this for about 7 years now. So I note from your website that it's, you say it's a three-lab ecosystem. What does that mean? What are your three labs?
Sure. Well, we have employed a rapid prototyping approach here at the Harvard Innovation Labs. We started off as the iLab, which was a university-wide experiment, as I mentioned, close to 7 years ago, to bring students together from all 12 Harvard schools across disciplines. We really truly believe that in this increasingly complex world, the problems that need solutions are going to come from multiple disciplines, and collaborating across them is really important. So we were trying to create a mechanism to do that. So the iLab itself is student-focused, meeting students where they are at any stage of their journey. We are industry-agnostic, stage-agnostic, and school-agnostic. And then we grew beyond that. We started finding that many of our students became alumni and were continuing on their entrepreneurial journey, and we wanted to continue to support them beyond graduation. And we opened up what is now called the Launch Lab, supporting alumni entrepreneurs. And then 2 years ago, we embarked upon a new lab to support our life science ventures. What we found was that many of our life science ventures were unable to gain the traction they needed, gain the critical funding they needed, because they couldn't replicate their experiments and their science outside of their labs. And so we developed a fully equipped and permitted co-working lab space for them to do that in a turnkey fashion. They can focus on their business and on their science, and we take care of everything else. So that's how we became a three-lab ecosystem.
Wow. Oh, that's very impressive, of course. I'd expect nothing less at Harvard. that's great. So I have so many questions. I mean, I certainly agree with you that there's so much to be gained by, here we call it interprofessional, where we're a professional school. So interprofessional education, because these, you know, people from different disciplines have to work together. And certainly you can, you know, you get some unexpected advances from people that are maybe not even trained in a particular area. Can you point to some successes in that aspect?
Absolutely. There have been so many. Over 50% of the ventures that are incubated here have more than one Harvard school represented on their founding team, which is really wonderful. So much of what we focus on here is connection, you know, helping these incredibly inspiring, passionate students find each other around that shared passion so they can solve those problems. One great example was a venture that was incubated early on in our life stage. It's a company that's now called Vaxis. And they started out of an academic course that was being taught here on commercializing science. They were playing with a silk-based protein technology as a class project. And in that, the team that was working on it, there was a student from the business school, a student from the PhD chemistry department, the law school, and the Kennedy School. So they were coming from very different backgrounds, skills, and experiences. And they originally had thought about making scarves out of this wonderful silk-based protein that was very durable. But as impact-focused as they were trying to apply it in a way that could have much more meaningful impact on the world. And they are now developing vaccines that can be transported without refrigeration. So they use the silk-based protein to compose a liquid into a solid in order to transport it so that it could survive the cold chain and make it to developing countries. So all those folks who need these vaccines can get them there. So, you know, it's a wonderful idea of how innovation occurs and how they're looking at how to commercialize this technology in a new and novel way. And when they tell their founding story, they say had they not come at it from all these different backgrounds, disciplines, experiences, they never would have come up with that new application and this new market for the technology. And they're a wonderful example of a team that went through the iLab as students. They won our President's Innovation Challenge, received some non-dilutive funding. They then moved into the Life Lab when we opened that, so they continue their science. And they've just recently moved on and gone out into the real world on their own. So we're pretty proud of that team.
Yeah, that's really impressive. Now, I have to ask, I think if I was a faculty member at Harvard, I would be interested in getting involved as well. Is this strictly limited to to students, how do faculty become involved? I'm sure there's some policies around this sort of thing in terms of intellectual property. How does that work, both with like students and faculty? Does Harvard take a piece when they go commercial? How does that work?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And it's something that was very important to me early on when we were composing this concept. We call it an IP free zone. And so any IP that is developed while here at the iLab is wholly owned by the founder. Now, if there is technology that's being spun out of the university, out of a university lab, then they do go through the tech transfer department prior to coming here, work out their licensing deal. But anything developed while they're at any of our labs is wholly owned by the entrepreneur. And I think it's really important. You know, one of the principles that we abide by here is creating this community that is safe and transparent and with complete alignment. So I, as the executive director, have no ulterior motives. I'm not picking winners. I'm not focused on the ventures that will have the highest financial success. We're really focused here on the educational experience. So we focus on inputs rather than outputs. We want to support and nurture and resource all innovators and entrepreneurs at any stage of development. So what that does is it creates a real level playing field where everyone feels a sense of ownership and accountability to this community. And it's a very risk-free environment. And when you talked about faculty too, one of the things that I really love about it is that there are no grades or credit associated with anything we do at the iLab. Everything we do is extracurricular. So it creates this community and environment where there's no consequences for trying and oftentimes failing. We actually encourage failure here. We think it's all part of the innovation process. And I think it needs to sit alongside the academic curriculum. So the way we think about it is we complement what happens in the classroom. We think Harvard schools are doing a wonderful job of educating the future innovators of tomorrow. And what we're doing is giving them an opportunity to have these experiential learning opportunities to apply what they're learning in the classroom. So we take those people who are learning how to think and we teach them how to do as well and how to apply that. And so I think it's a really wonderful symbiotic relationship with the academic curriculum here at Harvard. And then, as you mentioned, faculty, of course, are more than welcome to incubate their own ventures here. In fact, at the Life Lab, there are a number of faculty-led and faculty-founded ventures in the life sciences area. So we certainly welcome that as well. But from an IP standpoint, anything created here is owned by the
entrepreneur.
Well, that's
good. That's very refreshing. Now, I have to ask, you often hear stories about entrepreneurs that decide to get out of college and just go back to their house in the garage. Are there any students that have elected to just drop out to pursue their venture?
Yeah, you know, it is interesting. And it was something that I was a bit concerned with at the beginning. And we're happy to say, I think I can count on one hand, there might have been three folks who had an opportunity that was very time sensitive, and they had to take a leave of absence to go do that and to act upon that opportunity. And happy to say that all of them have come back and eventually finished their degree. But what we find is exactly the opposite, that students try to stay in school as long as possible because the resources they receive while in school is so wonderful. And it's an incredible community that has been created here. And the resources that are offered to them, I think, are, you know, harder to find out in the real world. So I think it's become an opposite problem where students are looking to stay in school as long as they can.
Yeah, certainly makes a lot of sense. I think a lot of what you must do has to do with communication, getting folks to talk to each other. Would you say the face-to-face is most important? Are there other technologies you use to bring people in from different areas of the country or experts from around the world? How does that work?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question. It's something that we're tackling right now. We find that most of what we do today is face-to-face, and we're really good at the in-person connections, and we've honed that skill over the years. But what we're trying to do now is scale. You know, when we think about scaling, we think about scaling access and impact. How can we get more innovators and entrepreneurs to come to us at earlier stages of the journey, what we call top of funnel, because again, we want to help make those connections happen as early and often as possible. And what we're trying to do is use technology to do that. So we've developed some online communities that we're piloting to help connect students to each other. We still want to use the face-to-face as the primary mechanism, but then augment it with technology to help nurture and help, again, scale that. And then when you talk about the contributors to the community, most of that is also done face-to-face. So we have a pretty robust expert in residence, specialists in residence, mentor program that all come and meet with students in person, one-on-one. We use technology to enable that. Of course, we have platforms to schedule those meetings to make it really easy for both parties. But we are looking to roll out a global alumni community to activate a much broader set of folks to both contribute and consume the content that we're delivering. So stay tuned on that. It's something we're working really hard on and we'd like to get better at.
I see. Now, I assume that, you know, while they're in school, they get the support and funding through Harvard. When they leave the nest, so to speak, what are the different stages? How do they continue to get funding when, say, they've graduated and they're ready to take the next step?
Yeah, sure. And it's not really funding that we provide. There is some non-dilutive funding that is offered through some of our challenge awards. But most of what we're providing, again, are the other resources to connect them both to each other, to the experts, to the capital many times, and to help them along their entrepreneurial journey. And when they graduate, again, I had mentioned the Launch Lab, which was our alumni program. We also are rolling out a new program for alumni called Launch Lab X. It's going to be a 9-month accelerator program focused on alumni ventures that are looking to go further, faster, and get to that next stage of development. And so it'll be rolled out in a couple of weeks, and we're really excited. We have a cohort of 13 teams that'll be here in residence, strong sense of community, a lot of one-on-one mentoring. We do take a very customized milestone-based approach, meeting them where they are, setting their milestones, helping lay out a plan to meet those milestones along the way. And we'll be doing that in 3 90-day sprints with a lot of feedback, a lot of interaction with the venture capital community and the investor community to help get them to where they need to go. So we're really excited about rolling out that program.
Right. I can imagine you need quite a bit of staff. How many students are in the program that pass through it, say, in a typical year?
Yeah, we estimate it's in about 10,000 students probably come through our doors each year, which is about, I think, a third of the overall Harvard population. And it really, you know, I think that's a large statement to where the world is right now, that so many students are interested in innovation and entrepreneurship. So I think it's a wonderful thing. And we find that while the number of students at Harvard stays the same every year, the number of students coming to the iLab increases every year, which is also a wonderful statistic. We typically incubate 60 to 90 ventures at a time. We have what we call our venture incubation program that meets 3 times a year. It is a 12-week program. We typically get 300 to 400 applicants every semester for those for that cohort. So there's quite a lot of interest and quite a lot of people participating. But on a day-to-day basis, any student, any Harvard student, whether they're involved in a venture or not, can come participate in all of our programming, whether it be a workshop, whether it's an EIR appointment, meeting for small industry roundtables, coming to some of our experiential learning events, participating in the President's Challenge. So we have a lot of offerings for students along that entrepreneurial journey. And we're always excited at this stage of the year when we get to meet all the new students who are new to campus and introduce them to what we have to offer. But I think the most inspiring thing about what we do goes back to, I think, one of the initial points that we are supporting students from all across Harvard. It's a very large, spread out university, and it's a wonderful way to bring students together from across the different schools in this, what we call One Harvard Way. And it's a wonderful manifestation of that. And it's incredible when those connections are made and that light bulb goes off and ideas are formulated.
Right. I mean, when you mentioned the case, example of this, you know, protein material that's used to for drugs. That's pretty amazing. Can you tell us any other? Are there any other examples that I, you know, when I first heard about this, I thought it was mostly, you know, apps or, you know, strictly, you know, electronic technology. But it seems like it's across the board. Can you give us a couple of other examples of some promising innovations?
Yeah, sure. And again, you know, it is incredible. The breadth and diversity of ventures that come through here is amazing. And that's a testament to the students. But I think, you know, the common denominator is that potential for impact. When they come here, they're looking to solve a problem in the world, and they are thinking to themselves that using innovation and entrepreneurship is the quickest way to do that. So it's really wonderful. Rather than trying to develop the next app that's going to make a lot of money in the shortest period of time, they are really looking to solve industry problems. Another great example, you know, I try to lump the industry categories in four different areas: consumer, health and sciences, social impact, and technology. And I can try to give you an example in each. Technology, Rapid SOS, is a company that came out of a personal experience. The founder's father had fallen off a ladder, almost died trying to reach 911, couldn't get through on a mobile phone. He's reimagining emergency response for the digital age. And so you can reach 911 from a mobile phone anywhere in the world. Incredible potential for impact, came out of a personal experience that he had, and he wanted to use entrepreneurship to solve that problem. Another one on the social impact side is a wonderful entrepreneur who started a company called Art Lifting. She wanted to combat homelessness, had worked in homeless shelters all her life. She was also an artist and often brought her art supplies to try to connect with the folks that she was trying to help, and found that so many of them were incredible artists. She now has an e-commerce platform to sell the art of homeless and disabled, giving them a vocation, making them no longer homeless. And so again, these are just a couple examples of student entrepreneurs who are looking to solve a problem, have an impact in the world, using entrepreneurship in order to do so.
That's great. Well, listen, I want to be respectful of your time. This has been a great summary of the Harvard Innovation Labs, and you mentioned this new program that's coming online. Is there anything else new or on your wish list to expand or to improve your setup?
Well, you know, as I mentioned, you know, we're constantly looking at ways to scale what it is we do and to resource more entrepreneurs in a more impactful way. But I think what I'm most excited about, to be honest with you, is the proliferation of centers like ours at other universities. It's really becoming the norm, and interacting with other peers that are doing this at other schools, it really is exciting to see this new wave of experiential learning opportunities, again, enabling students to apply what they're learning in the classroom. And I think it's really exciting for the future of higher ed.
That's great. Yeah, in fact, that anticipated my last question, which was, you know, if a university wants to get started down this path, where's a good place to start?
That's a good question. We meet with and tour a lot of people from around the world looking to do things that we're like the way we're doing. And what I always say is one size doesn't fit all. Every university is different. Every university has different stakeholders, different objectives. So you have to apply what works for you. But one thing I really like about the way we do things is the unique governance structure. And I try to recommend that to other universities. Having this entity that doesn't sit in any one school, but sits alongside all the schools, is a really wonderful governance structure. The deans of all the schools are on my board. They have this sense of ownership and accountability. And that trickles down to the students, who all feel a sense of ownership and a sense of place and community. And it makes a real difference, I think, in activating and helping make those connections happen. So that would be my recommendation.
Sounds good. Good advice. Well, Jody, thank you so much for speaking with me today. I think this is an amazing development. I think a lot of us have a lot to learn from your example.
Well, wonderful. It was great speaking with you. Thanks so much, Rod. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jody. Well, that's it for today. I hope you enjoyed the interview. I think Jody Goldstein has a lot of great ideas for institutions like yours and ours to help students move into the future. I think it's a great idea regardless of what field they're going into. So stay tuned for the full piece, Something About Eve by Falling You. So until next time, have a great week.
that's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to give Rod feedback. You can leave comments on his blog or send email to rod@rodspulsepodcast.com. The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Murray, and does not represent the official viewpoint of the University of the Sciences or any other institution or company.